life. Mm-hmm. And still nowadays, we hear some stories of some magicians who cause a kind of problem, a kind of separation between spouses.
They put charm on a family ties, or, for example, a child, or something like that. Even some du'as are written, or some formulas, let's better say,
some
are written, for example, say...
I will come to it. It doesn't... my point here is that Quran says that we can have such kind of sihr or magic which can have some effects, real effects. But talking about what is happening nowadays, the majority of the cases have nothing to do with magic. Mm-hmm. People just think that, I mean, there has been a charm or something, a knot has been tied against them. But when you examine and study their family, you see that, no, it's just their problems, and they think that it is coming from a charm mm-hmm. or a spell. So my point is that it does exist, but in majority of the cases, we just try to justify our own problem mm-hmm. by referring back them to spells That's or right. charms. But Quran affirms that this kind of sihr or magic exists, and it can have some effects. In the same surah, chapter Baqarah, verse 102, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعَهُمْ. They learn what harms them and does not bring them any benefit.
Yes.
So this is one kind of magic, and it can be done through different ways. And sometimes some people, as you mentioned, use some formulas. Some people may recourse and ask help from some jinns.
Jinns, that's right.
And
the negative satanic jinns.
Exactly.
That's right.
And we have it in different parts of the world, and it's not about the religion of Islam. It's a matter of different regions and places and, religions. Now, regarding Islamic perspective on sihr, we have very powerful narrations against the concept of sihr and magic. To the extent that, according to some narrations, those people who learn this kind of sihr, I mean, in its negative sense of the word, like people who learn it to separate between spouses and to do some other harms, according to some narrations, a person who learns magic, be it so much or so little, it is as if they have become disbelievers.
Yes.
So, magicians can be called disbelievers according to some narrations, mm-hmm. or at least very close to disbelief. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that من تعلم شيئا من السحر قليلا أو كثيرا فقد كفر وكان آخر عهده بربه. He doesn't have any relation with his Lord anymore. Yes. This is how dangerous is learning magic.
IRIB English Radio presents questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Answering your theological questions in questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah, we
worship Allah, and no one but Allah. Sorry, is it the same as those sahirs and sihr that were done at the time of Prophet Moses or something like that?
As I mentioned, what happened at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam was the first kind of sihr, which does not bring any effect, mm-hmm. like what we see in today's shows.
Okay.
What we see in today's show is not this kind of sihr, uh-huh. which is called a kind of disbelief.
Yes.
No. Now we are talking about the second kind of sihr, which will bring real mm-hmm. negative effects against the people. It is one of the major sins, and anything that is related to sihr or magic is forbidden in the religion of Islam. Learn it or teach it or earn money through that is absolutely forbidden.
Yes.
But there are some exceptions. For example, we know that at the end of the day, some people are going to commit this major sin, and they are going to do some magics against the people to bring some harms in the lives of the people. Now, some people can learn magic just to oppose the magic of these magicians. Of course, this is in need of great expertise. Not all the people are able to do that, and they should be pious enough not to misuse it. So if you are going to oppose the magic of other people, because sometimes, as people call it, when they tie some knots against the people, then other people can untie these knots. So for untying the knots, if we put it this way, some people can learn. This is wajib kifai, meaning that it's not incumbent upon all the people. Mm-hmm. So in a community, if one person may learn it, it's enough. Then it's not necessary for others to learn it. It's been mentioned that, for example, a magician who was receiving some money for magic, he asks Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that in the past I used to do magic and was earning money for that.
Yes.
And even with that, I did Hajj pilgrimage. But now I'm regretful. I have repented. Is there any way for my salvation? Mm-hmm. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told him that untie the knot of magic, but do not tie the knot of magic or witchcraft. So to learn magic, to oppose the magic of magicians is, permitted according to the religion of Islam. And now, having said that, as I mentioned, nowadays there are some exaggerations about the magic of the magicians or the charms and the spells.
Yes.
People should not exaggerate. People should not, bring an excuse for any problem that they are suffering from just to tell that I have been charmed, for example.
This is called superstitious.
Exactly.
Superstitious, that's right.
Yeah, people feel lazy. They are not ready to study, for example. They say that I've been charmed, for example. Or when it comes to marriage or problems between wife and husband, you see that many people try to justify their own bad actions, bad behavior toward their spouses by saying that it is the result of a charm. This is one point. But the second point that is that if people think that there has been a kind of magic against them, then the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they have taught us some du'as, some supplications through which we can get rid of sihr of other people, if there can be any. In Mafatih al-Jinan, people can read some du'as, which are called ta'weed, for nullifying the effects of magics.
Yes.
And some narrations in this regard, Imam Rida alayhi salam, is quoted as saying that magic has some truth, and sometimes it may have some effect. If you feel that there has been a magic against you, then read the following dua, for example, Bismillah al-Azim, Rabb al-Arsh al-Azim, illa dhahabat wa anqaradat. And there are some other supplications and duas in this regard. And this is one way to, and maybe the best way, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the negative effects of magics. And second of all, usually in each time and era, we have some great scholars, some mystics. I'm not asking the people to refer to any person.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we have so many claimants to claim that we are able to...
The false claimants of mystery and, for example, mysticism or something like that. That's
and
right.
They claim that we are able to nullify the effects of magic. No, I'm not talking about them. But there are, in our time, scholars, mystics, true mystics who have this ability to nullify the effects of magic. We have stories regarding this in our time and era. In the life of great mystic like Ayatollah Behjat, for example, sometimes people refer to him with the same problem, and then he used to teach them some du'as and supplications.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic, charm, spell, we can say superstition, and how to nullify them. It was very kind of you. And thank you much again for explaining this point for us. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information or to send your question to us, please visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Thousands of Syrians and Palestinians gathered in their mud camp in Damascus on Saturday for a pro-Palestine event organized by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. In the gathering, they denounced the relentless Israeli attacks on Gaza and the crippling blockade that has been suffocating its residents.
This demonstration is a message to our compatriots in occupied Palestine, especially in Gaza, that the Palestinians in Syria support their fight against the occupier who has committed the bloodiest massacres in the besieged strip, and that they are waiting for the moment to join the resistance. Victory is close, and we will not be terrified by the Israeli war machine or American threats.
Carrying Syria and Palestine flags, protesters voiced their outrage at the ongoing Israeli aggression and the horrifying atrocities in Gaza, including the recent tragic attack targeting the Al-Ahli Hospital and St. Porphyrius Greek Orthodox Church, which claimed the lives of hundreds and left countless wounded.
Today, we answered the call of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad in Syria to voice our support for the heroes of the resistance in Gaza and all of Palestine. We come from various camps in the south, men, women, and children, and we are willing to sacrifice our lives. We will soon pray in Al-Aqsa by God's will.
The Palestinian women in Gaza are a part of the fight because they offer their children to God. I want to tell the Palestinian mothers that patience is the key to victory and that you're a role model due to all the sacrifices you're making.
Syrians and Palestinians affirmed that the entire resistance front supports the fight of the Palestinian people and that Gaza is not alone. They reminded the whole world that the blood of those killed by the Israeli regime will pave the path for liberating Al-Quds.
While the international community continues to grapple with its response to Israel's war crimes and stands in awe of what the Palestinian resistance has achieved, people of Yarmouk camp, Syrians and Palestinians alike, are demonstrating in solidarity with Gaza, advocating for justice and peace, and expressing their absolute faith in the victory of Palestine. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
As Israeli bombs rain down on Gazans, an urgent demand from Britons for an immediate end to the brutal war and bloodshed.
These people don't have a choice in what's going on. They're being pretty much slaughtered women, children, and men. And I feel like the Western world is just letting this happen.
We want those horrible people who support genocide to come clean and tell the truth. We want the free press to report exactly what is happening. We want a free Palestine.
Insidious, slow slaughtering of people, and just grief.
Grief over the horrific murders, but a flicker of hope at news of aid making it from Egypt through the Rafah crossing into Gaza. To the demonstrators here, this is a march to support the Palestinians. This is the second mass demonstration in 2 weeks, with the organizers saying more are in the pipeline, since they want to raise awareness of the Palestinian plight and what they have endured over decades.
Around the world, public support and solidarity for Palestinians is on the rise. An increasing number of people are telling the Palestinian they understand what they're going through, they hear their voices, and that they have their back. Saeed Porizap, London.
Members of the Islamic movement in Nigeria held a peaceful protest after Friday prayers at the National Mosque in the capital, Abuja. The demonstrators chanted slogans condemning the Israeli attacks on Gaza, which has resulted in the killing of thousands of Palestinians. They further condemned the Western refusal to call for a ceasefire and the support that the United States and European countries give to the Israelis. The demonstrators said they fully support the Palestinians.
The Islamic movement has been calling for justice for the Palestinians for more than 4 decades. It's not just now that the Islamic movement started. The Islamic movement started from the beginning. It's one of the frontiers of calling for justice.
The demonstrators expressed solidarity with the people of Palestine, but regretted that many people still do not understand the motives of the Israelis, who have continued to oppress the Palestinians for several decades. They explained that the occupation of Palestinian lands and the systematic murder of innocent people, including women and children, is part of a grand plan of the Zionists.
Some people are still saying Israelis are acting on defense. What defense? Yesterday, if you feel they are killing Muslims, yesterday they went and destroyed a church of 1,600 years. They have destroyed it yesterday. Today, they have attacked another mosque of 1,400 years of existence. So they are killing Muslim, Christian, whoever they see, they kill him. It's Zionism that is fighting humanity.
Meanwhile, Muslim organizations under the Supreme Council for Sharia in Nigeria have condemned Israel's genocide in the Gaza Strip. They also called on the Nigerian government to urgently review its relations with the regime. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
George Ibrahim Abdullah, known as the Arab world's Nelson Mandela and Europe's longest-serving political prisoner, has now been in a French jail for 40 years. In 1982, amid daily airstrikes and with Israel about to invade Lebanon, Abdullah headed an anti-Zionist and pro-socialist organization which took responsibility for assassinating an Israeli and an American intelligence agent in Paris. Many are concerned that Abdullah has effectively been given a life sentence in jail, even though his release was granted by a parole board in 2013.
La peine de mort, elle a été abolie en France.
France is so very proud of having abolished the death penalty, but instead of executing with the guillotine, they are forcing a slow death by prison on this global hero. For 40 years, he has refused to recant his support for Palestine and his act of legitimate self-defense in the face of Israeli violence.
Paris refuses to send him back to Lebanon, despite repeated requests from Lebanese officials, with Washington and Tel Aviv also pressuring to extend his detention.
He is such an example to the world because of his resistance to Zionist attempts at occupation, and because of what he has been forced to suffer so unjustly, and because he continues to fight against the crimes of imperialism. His regular political statements are received with great attention, not just in occupied Palestine and his home country of Lebanon, but around the world.
Protests demanding Abdullah's release are regular in France and Lebanon, while flags adorned with Abdullah's face are seen at seemingly every leftist or union demonstration in France. The Western mainstream media effectively has a blackout on Abdullah, but that hasn't stopped him from becoming an inspirational symbol of anti-imperialist resistance around the world, with supporters who say they'll never stop demanding his freedom. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Yemenis have taken to the streets for the second day in a row to show their solidarity with Palestinians as Israel continues its brutal attacks on the Gaza Strip. During the demonstration, protesters also praised the latest military actions, which targeted U.S. military assets in the region. According to reports, three missiles, which were launched from Yemen, targeted U.S. Navy warships in the Red Sea. This was also followed by other attacks on the U.S. military bases in Iraq and Syria in recent days.
I would like to send a message to the people of Gaza. By will of Allah, we are not going to enjoy food or drink without fighting alongside you. We are calling on the leaders to open the borders so we can join you in jihad.
From here in Yemen, I would like to send a message to the Zionist occupiers and aggressors. We will not allow you to get away with your crimes. We are coming for you. You will certainly see us soon in a place where you had hoped never to see us.
The Ansarullah government has not yet confirmed that it was behind the aerial attacks. However, the leader of Yemen's revolution, Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi, had said in the past that U.S. military assets would be targeted if the country joins the war against Palestinians.
We are not only going to march the streets to protest, but we are also ready to go to the battlefield to defend Islam, defend our lands, and defend Al-Aqsa. We are not like the Saudis and Emirates who are normalizing ties with Israel. They are the biggest traitors.
It is not clear how long the war will take. Comments and actions by Israel and its ally, the U.S., indicate that it's going to be a long war. Speakers during Friday prayers called on worshippers to protest daily in solidarity with Palestinians. This as the Yemeni government explores strategic military options that can be adopted to help end the bloodshed in Palestine. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
A brisk autumn night in front of the White House, but for protesters, heated passion over the constant bombardment of Gaza. Nerveen Adwan says she fled Gaza 20 years ago, but now her heart is there with her people.
People are not allowed to travel, are not allowed to find food. There's no food, there's no water, there's no medicine. And the people who seek medicine and cure in the hospital, they got killed.
Demonstrators gathered here focused on reports that an Israeli airstrike on Tuesday killed hundreds of people at a hospital. The death toll, the highest of any single incident in Gaza in recent days, triggering protests there and around the world.
Protests have been happening across the country both day and night. Most people outraged over the climbing death toll, not to mention the growing humanitarian crisis affecting the most vulnerable.
Many here angered by United States' alignment with Israel and its president, Joe Biden, calling him complicit.
He can go to hell, to be honest with you. Like the Americans have never been on the side of Palestinians, and they never will be. And he's just aiding Israel. He's just empowering Israel to move on and to continue their war efforts.
Others say legacy media are also to blame.
The mainstream media is directly culpable and directly responsible for these deaths. They have done everything from platform Israeli officials to spew their pure hatred unchecked.
Israel is a apartheid state.
These demonstrators are demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. They say they hope for the best, but expect the worst.
It's our land. Where else to go?
Colin Campbell, Washington.
As the Israeli war on Gaza rages on, a vigil in London to remind Palestinians they're not alone. The mood is somber. Some here have lost loved ones in Gaza.
I have family in Gaza, some of extended family that have been martyred, family, friends who are also gone, direct family that's been displaced. It's heartbreaking.
This is beyond, it's absolutely like terrifying and horrific that we are here at this point, just free Palestine.
Across from the vigil, the office of the UK Prime Minister, whose government's unfettered support for the Israeli regime, amplified by the UK's mainstream media, is not lost on the vigil goers.
What we have here is a media that is discriminatory, that is explicitly valuing the lives of Palestinians less than Israeli people. We have reports, there are studies. Each death of a Palestinian generates 1/7 the media of a death of an Israeli. And it's clear that in this conflict that there is a distortion of facts, that we have a set of reports that come out of Israel and a set of reports that come from Palestinian people. They are not treated the same. We treat the Israeli reports as fact, even though they have one of the worst track histories. And we treat the Palestinian reports as a likely falsehood, as something sketchy, as information that we don't trust.
Support for the Palestinians comes under a deteriorating climate for human rights activists in Europe. Just last week, the UK Interior Minister told police carrying the Palestinian flag may be a criminal offense. At the time of this report, Israeli bombardments of the Gaza Strip have killed over 3,000 Palestinians and injured more than 11,000 others.
It's been several days of horror for Palestinians in Gaza, several days of heartbreaking images pouring in, and several days of agony for the people here in the UK and across the world who feel powerless to stop the Israeli carnage. To them, this is about remembering those who were murdered and praying for the survivors. Saeed Purizep, London.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
Anger is boiling in the streets of Pakistan over the United States and Israel. In a fiery expression of outrage, Pakistanis set ablaze the American and Israeli flags, signaling their vehement disapproval of their policies towards the innocent people of Palestine.
Anybody who denies the Holocaust, whether in North America or in Europe, is sent to jail. It is a crime. What Israel is doing is no less than a Holocaust in Palestine.
This is the greatest tragedy that the Israeli aggression is being backed by the United States and other Western countries. I think that's the time where the world should protest against what Israel has been doing over the last 50, 60 years.
Political leaders, human rights activists, and religious scholars united in Islamabad for a series of rallies to condemn Israel's actions in Palestine. They marched in the streets and raised their voices to the world to play its role in stopping Israel from killing innocent men, women, and children in the Gaza Strip on a daily basis.
We are here to protest against the Israelis and anybody who's supporting them right now, be it Muslim leaders or America or anybody. And I would like to tell people that the word is not oppression anymore. The word is genocide. They're literally cleansing Palestine by killing their children specifically.
The rallies were marked by passionate speeches and powerful slogans as the diverse group of attendees came together to demand justice and peace for Palestine.
Unfortunately, the organization of the Islamic country is only condemning the action of the Israel. They are not taking any action. I think that they should announce sanctions against Israel. If they are not in a position to impose sanctions on Israel, they should disband the OIC.
The protesters were also calling for Israel to lift the Gaza blockade and reopen routes for humanitarian aid.
These rallies indicate the growing frustration and anger
felt by many over continued violence and the lack of international intervention to protect the lives of thousands of innocent Palestinians besieged by Israeli forces. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
Mother, the symbol of love and peace, she cannot stay at home and be a bystander when she sees the disturbing images of murdered children. So, Iranian mothers with their children gathered at Mother's Square in Tehran to express sympathy with Palestinian mothers and children. They say that the only thing they can do today is to come to the streets and be the voice of the oppressed.
We have witnessed heartbreaking scenes in the past few days, such as children waking up to find their homes destroyed and searching for their mothers. During these moments, all we could do was cry. Perhaps these gatherings can help awaken public conscience and draw the world's attention to Gaza.
I asked her why she has brought her daughter to this gathering.
I brought my daughter because I think that from this age, she should be able to develop a sense of sympathy so that when she reaches adulthood, she will not be indifferent to what is happening in the world.
I asked her how she felt about the recent events in Palestine as a mother. Tears welled up in her eyes.
We have come here today to support the Palestinian people who are being martyred. We cannot watch our brothers and sisters in Gaza being unjustly martyred and remain indifferent.
I know it was my duty to come here to sympathize with Palestinian children. I cannot imagine what is happening to Palestinian mothers. It is very sad.
Today, mothers around the world play a significant role in teaching their children about the Palestinian cause.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. Reports say a Palestinian boy is wounded in an Israeli regime army raid on Nur Shams refugee camp in Tul Karm, and the boy is hospitalized now. The Zionist regime occupation forces have massacred at least 11 Palestinians in a refugee camp in the northern occupied West Bank recently. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Israeli regime occupation forces have massacred at least 11 Palestinians in a refugee camp in the northern occupied West Bank. The army's invasion of Nur Shams refugee camp in Tul Karm lasted all day. The bodies of several Palestinians martyred in the camp remain at a local mosque as the Zionist regime continues to hamper movement, a community leader told Wafa news agency. Israeli regime forces continue to besiege Nur Shams well into the days ahead while cutting off water and electricity. Israeli regime military bulldozers also raided the camp, destroyed sections of the main street and restricted movement. The Zionist regime troops ransacked homes and vandalized public and private property. Israeli regime forces fired ground and airstrikes and bulldozed sections of the road, reportedly to neutralize explosives planted in the ground. The UN Monitoring Group, OCHA, said recently Israeli forces bombed a house in the camp. BAFA News Agency reported the damage to the infrastructure and homes is yet to be assessed. The Zionist regime army published a video of what appears to be a strike fired at Palestinians in the refugee camp that day. The electronic intifada continued. Palestinians reportedly hurled an improvised explosive device at the invading Israeli regime forces, fatally wounding a border police officer and injuring at least 9 others. Footage shows the aftermath of the Zionist regime army's destruction of property and infrastructure in the camp. This brings to nearly 80 Palestinians killed by Israeli troops and settlers in occupied West Bank since October 7th. 20 Palestinian children have been killed in the occupied West Bank during that period, according to Defense for Children International Palestine. The Zionist regime fire killed 4 Palestinian children recently. A 15-year-old boy stood in front of his house, which overlooks the entrance of the Nur Shams camp, to watch Israeli regime forces invading at dawn. The Zionist regime forces shot at Taha Ibrahim Muhammad 3 times, hitting him twice, once in the head and once in the eye, according to a failed investigation by DCIP. Taha's dad approached his son to bring him inside the house, but he too was shot in the abdomen by the Zionist regime forces. Father and son bled for an hour as the Israeli regime army prevented ambulances from entering the camp. The UN monitoring group OCHA also reported that Israeli forces impeded the work of paramedics. Recently, Israeli regime forces shot and killed another Palestinian child in the Dehish refugee camp near Beit Lahm in the occupied West Bank. Ahmad Munir Sadouk, 17, was inside his house watching the invasion through the window when Israeli regime forces shot him in the head. Recently, Israeli occupation forces shot at 2 Palestinian children from a distance of 250 meters near the entrance of the town of Shokhba, northwest of Ramallah, the seat of the Palestinian Authority in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. The Zionist regime fire hit 15-year-old Khalil Muhammad Shalah in the armpit and neck, and 17-year-old Qais Muhammad Shalah in the lower back. The boys bled for 30 minutes before an ambulance arrived. Meanwhile, Palestinian Authority security forces violently suppressed demonstrations across the occupied West Bank as massive protests erupted following the Al-Ahli hospital massacre in Gaza City recently. Palestinians took to the streets in Ramallah, Nablus, Al-Khalil, Jenin, and other cities to protest the massacre and the Palestinian Authority's so-called security coordination with the Zionist regime. Local media reported that PA forces fired live ammunition at Palestinians who came out in protest in Ramallah at the hospital massacre. A 9-year-old Palestinian girl was reportedly killed when armed Palestinians exchanged fire between PA security forces, UN monitoring group OCHA said. Local media said it was PA fire that killed her. Meanwhile, a WAFA news agency reported at least 52 Palestinians were arrested by Zionist occupation forces Recently, during wide-scale raids into southern West Bank provinces of Ramallah, Al-Khalil, Tubas, Jenin and Salfit, according to local and Palestinian security sources, most of the arrests were concentrated in Ramallah and Beit Bira Governorate, where at least 20 Palestinians were reported arrested by Israeli regime occupation army. Among the detainees is the mayor of Al-Bira city, Islam Al-Tawil, a former prisoner in the Zionist regime jails. In Al-Khalil, south of the territory, at least 13 Palestinians were arrested by the Zionist regime forces in the city and its neighboring towns and villages. In Nablus, at least 9 Palestinians were arrested by the Zionist regime forces as they raided the city and several towns and villages in the province. In Jenin, Israeli regime occupation forces stormed the towns of Qabatia and Kafar Rai, detaining at least 6 Palestinian civilians after raiding and searching their homes. In the meantime, the forces stormed and searched several homes in the northern province of Tubas, detaining 2 Palestinians. Another Palestinian was also reported arrested by the forces in the central province of Salfit. The latest arrests are part of a massive Zionist regime arrest campaign that saw at hundreds of Palestinians arrested since the beginning of this month, October, coinciding with the genocidal Zionist regime aggression on the Gaza Strip.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim.
Islamite. Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. This is IRAB English Radio and this is Youth Station. I am here as your host, Zahra, and this is my co-host,
Asma. It's your service as well. Welcome back to a new episode.
Welcome.
So happy to be here again.
Yeah, definitely. How are you doing?
Thank you. Now that I'm in here, I feel pretty much better, though my voice does not sound like that, but it's okay.
Tired.
Yeah.
So, Sahifa As-Sajjadiya.
Yeah.
How much do you know about it?
As a Muslim girl, I suppose most of the time we have to refer to something to work as a resource and as a place for motivation, for strength. And whenever I feel like that, I go for either Mafatihu Janan or Sahifa As-Sajjadiya. So the thing is that since I'm a literary student and I do love literature, I go for texts that are so literary. Mm-hmm. Like Dua Arafah by Imam Hussein alayhi salam is one of those literary texts that I love so much.
Yeah.
And then Abu Hamza is another literary text that I love too much.
Yeah.
For the night of...
Definitely.
Ramadan, I go for that full-heartedly, and the meanings, whenever I just go for it and read it, it feels like the first time.
Right. I really liked Arafah because of how descriptive it is.
It's as if these are all your words, but yeah. Even if you have tried your entire lifetime, you would have never put it this beautifully.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing goes for Sahifa Sajjadi.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and it contains too much of literary concepts and text, beautiful sentences, the things that comes from the depth of your heart when you just recite them. Mm-hmm. It's not as if you're reading something that has come to you from years ago.
Yeah. So a lot of scholars who don't even necessarily accept Imam Sajjad as a imam and rather accept him as the grandson of the prophet and a very good individual say that Sahifa As-Sajjadiya is a text that is of a higher level than any human being can write, but of a lower level than God's words of
exactly.
the Quran.
Yeah.
And because of this quality, many have called As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya Zabur of Ali Muhammad, salawatullah alayhi wa sallam, or Injil of Ahlul Bayt.
Is the Bible.
The Bible of Ahlul Bayt, or the Book of David of the Prophet. And the Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya contains 54 supplications written on various topics. It covers theology, ideology, anthropology, angels, nubuwwah, the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Ahlul Bayt. It talks about imamate, ghaib, or the unseen world, about moral virtues and vices, aids, social and economic issues, historical points, blessings of gods, manners, dhikr, prayers, worship, so many different topics. So the most famous supplication that I'm sure you've heard about is Makarim al-Akhlaq.
Yeah, which is so beautiful.
Yeah, many people and many scholars actually have a plan to continuously read this dua as a means of improving themselves, overcoming certain like characteristics that they don't like, and really thinking deeply about it.
Yeah, and there's also another supplication in there regarding the difficulties that might happen in your life. So whenever you're in dire need of a help, you go and read this supplication and you feel pretty much slighter just as you go through the words of that supplication. It gives a lot of hints about you, how to ask Allah to help you. And then it gives you a sort of confidence and trust that He's there and He would never let me just go.
And what's amazing about the supplications of the Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya is that a lot of normal issues, like if I remember correctly, there are du'as on for somebody who is in debt, for somebody who's overcoming sickness, for people who are protecting the borders of the country.
Exactly.
For like pretty much
who would think of these issues?
Particularly about the angels and what their duties are. What do they do? What their position is? A lot of both topics that we don't know about and we're curious to learn more about, and topics that are very important in our normal life. So let's go for a short break and then we'll talk more about some of the contents of As-Sahifa.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. This is IRIB English Radio, and you're listening to Youth Station. I'm Zahra, and my co-host...
Yes, I'm Asma at your service. So we were talking about Sahif al-Sajjadi.
And we were talking about the contents of the
book. It contains 54 supplications. Each of them are regarding some very detailed topics, like when you are in need of a help from Allah, you go read one supplication, like Makarim al-Akhlaq, as you just mentioned, goes for people who want to improve their personality, improve their characteristics, their attitudes, and whatever that is related to our soul. We want it to be corrected. We go for that one. And there's also some that are related to the angels. Well, actually, internet has made everything pretty much easier. Right now, if you want just to name each one of these supplications, it would take too much of a time. But the thing is that just with a simple click on a page of the net, you can get all the titles and then you can go through them. They all have translations. And I'm pretty sure that if you go for each one of them, there might be more than one, two, three, four, that is going to be your favorite.
Other than that, there is, considering that Sahifa Sajjadiyya is what they call very close to mutawatir, which is It has been so narrated by so many sources and so many different people that there is like extremely high certainty that this is extremely accurate. And there are a lot of, because it's such a good source, there are a lot of commentaries on it as well. So you can both read the du'as yourself on your own time with a simple translation just to look through it. Or if you have a special event going on, you can find one that is that kind of relates to you more.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Because it's usually the thing that we go for Mafatih al-Jannan or the books like these kind of books that gives us some text to study are in a way that you make connections with them.
Yeah.
Some of them turn out to be so close to your heart that mm-hmm. then they become your close friends that every time you feel like you're down, you don't have much of motivations or you're just done with everything, you go for them and they would do the trick for your soul.
Yeah. So what is one of your favorites?
Well, at the hardships of during the time of the coronavirus, we used to recite one of those supplications that was related to the hardships, I suppose. And then the concept of that text was so lovely and so soothing that every day when I went through that, I felt like there are some guardians taking care of me. In some parts of that, you're going to read that it says, oh God, something like a very heavy burden has occurred to me, and it's just burdening the shoulder of my soul. So just try to help me with this problem with your ways that are unpredictable and with your ways that are beyond description. So as I just went through these lines, it was as if you're talking directly to God in a language that you're so sure he's listening to you and it's going to be answered.
Yeah, and one benefit of dua, and actually one of the methods of Imam Sajjad during his time of extreme censorship and oppression, that he managed to talk to people and still kind of help them grow as individual human beings, was through these du'as, which in among the du'as and among the supplication to God, yeah. we learn what am I supposed to even be asking God for?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it helps you move on from that very difficult position you're in. It gives you hope. It gives you a goal. It gives
yeah.
you, you feel thankful that...
They teach you actually how to say and what to ask.
Yeah.
The important issues, the things that are mostly perfect for you to gain from
and
Allah.
And it's amazing how when you hear that, you feel like this is exactly what I was looking
exactly.
for. And I didn't know how to express
these are
this
the
is
words.
What I need.
Yeah, these are the words that I was looking for.
Yeah.
But even if I have tried my lifetime, I would have never come with such beautiful words and sentences.
One of the du'as that I really like from As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyah is the 24th supplication, which is for parents. It's actually a prayer for my parents, rather. So as someone who has loved ones...
To care for.
Yeah.
You know, as people who have attachments in this world to these people
yeah.
around us, as parents, as siblings, as friends, even relatives. So these sort of supplications help us a lot. They give us the clue and the way of what to say.
Right. And so one of the things that was really interesting to me about this dua in particular was that while it was kind of a prayer to make for one's parents, rather at the same time, it was teaching me as a person that how can I be a good parent? Like through praying for my parents and through wishing the best for them, through saying that I want to fulfill these duties mm-hmm. I have towards my parents,
yeah.
and I hope that they fulfill their duties towards me as well, you could learn yourself from a different position 10 years in the future, 20 years, or maybe you already have children.
Yeah.
What can I do to be that better parent that in this dua, there a higher prayer is made for, a better dua is made for?
Generally, This book is on many, many concepts that are so important for us to ponder upon. So if there is any one of you who's interested to get more about these concepts, I guess the best way is to go and search each supplication and then find out which one is more closer to your heart. But as in generally, if you want to know, it contains too much of concepts regarding of all tastes, you know?
Pretty much.
If you're a person who's interested in how to speak to God and how to ask from Him, if you're the kind of a person who has done too much of wrong things and then you're searching for a way to turn back, then there are some words for you as well. If you're the kind of a person who would love to pray for their loved ones, for their attachments, then there are some ones, some supplications in there for you. And also, if you want to improve your personality, your character, you want to evolve into this better soul, into this better version of you, then there are also texts there for you.
Even if you're just simply curious whether it is about unseen, like the angels and stuff like that, or like after death, or if you're just looking for something that fits your situation. For example, we have du'as for upon hearing thunder, when looking at the new crescent moon.
And when you go into the text, you see beautiful words said there. So what we are saying in here are just a touch. They cannot even be considered as a clue because the book itself talks of itself by the word it has guided there. So this is all the time that we had for today's episode. I'm sure if you go and search the book, you'd figure out that talking about this book is impossible because you should just go for it. In a way that it speaks of itself. So, yeah, this was all.
This was all. Thank you for listening to us, and thank you to my dear co-host.
Thank you.
It was great talking with you, and we'll see you soon with another episode of Youth Station. This was IRIB English Radio.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Israeli warplanes target areas near three hospitals in the Gaza Strip after the regime orders 20 hospitals in the besieged territory to evacuate. Iran's President Raisi strongly condemns U.S. President's pro-Israeli remarks as reactionary and inhumane, saying that they prove the regime's fake nature. And people around the world take to the streets to condemn Israeli atrocities against the people of Palestine,